Welcome to the River Mountain Church Preaching Library. It is our prayer and indeed our hope that this message might inspire your life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preaching of God's Word.
So this morning we're going to talk about praying for wisdom. How many people would like to have some wisdom? Oh, that's okay. It's a wonderful thing to have the wisdom of God. And so as we begin here in James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, not doubting, for the one who doubts is like the waves of the sea. He's driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Heavenly Father, I pray that the preaching of your word would penetrate our hearts, that it would go deep and bear fruit. I pray especially for myself as a feeble communicator, as one who lacks the wisdom that I need in these types of affairs. So I ask first for wisdom for my feebleness, and also may we have wisdom upon our ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said amen.
Amen.
So, want to start with the idea of what is wisdom anyway, and then we're going to look at how to receive wisdom, and then finally, what are the enemies of wisdom? So, what is wisdom anyway? We are very fortunate because in the book of James, chapter 3, James actually lays out the best definition in all of the Bible concerning wisdom. And every day you are given two choices. Follow your earthly wisdom, which is your natural wisdom, which is what you think is right. And then there is the divine wisdom, the heavenly wisdom. So let's look at the difference that James points out in earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. And this is James chapter 3. Verse 13 and 16. You should underline this in the Bible. It's one of those scriptures I think that you could probably meditate on for the rest of your life. "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast or be false to the truth. This wisdom does not come down, from above," this is not the wisdom that comes down from above, I'm sorry, "but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic." How about that? Earthly wisdom is unspiritual and it's demonic. "For where there is jealousy, selfish ambition, there will be disorder in every vile practice." He mentions two things and he mentions them twice. What are those two things that he mentions about earthly wisdom? Jealousy, selfish ambition. So in order for you to understand the contrast between divine wisdom and earthly wisdom, we have to look at what it means to have earthly wisdom. He calls it unspiritual, but he also calls it demonic. And there are the two things. Bitter jealousy is the first. Bitter is what he emphasizes. And the word bitter means, obviously it means bitter, but it also means harsh. Have you been harsh? Do you find yourself sometimes being a little too harsh? It's probably the most common thing we are, is harsh. But it's harshness combined with jealousy. And jealousy is best understood this way. It is those feelings that degenerate into a desire to make war upon the good which it beholds in another. Oh my. And thus to trouble that good and to diminish it. We see good in other people. We see something maybe we desire. And we get harsh about it. And the Bible says this jealousy is we wish to diminish the good we see in others. Or that we see maybe even in society. We get the green eye of jealousy. And in the strongest context, we want to tear down and to destroy others. Now, do we do that usually by, you know, attacking them, by taking guns and, you know, mowing? No, we don't. We usually just do this in our heart. We have this bitterness. We tear people down in our hearts. We tear them down with our words. We tear them down with our thoughts. Every time we think of a particular person, we get this idea that we would, it's not good. There's a vindictive side about it. This is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. It has at its root, as you might guess, selfishness. We're not getting what we want. The word selfish or ambition is actually combined. It's a combined word, selfish ambition. It's the same thing that a politician does when he puts himself forward as saying, I'm your man. Pick me. Choose me. I'm right. My opponent is wrong. And by the way, have you ever seen more immature behavior than you do in the elections? I mean, this is like five-year-old playground stuff. And we allow it in our politicians. It's a shame. I'm better than the next guy. Here's the next. Well, this can rise up in us. This I'm better than the other person. It is the sin of self-ambition. It's always about you, and it's about always you getting what you want. That's the way we are in our earthly wisdom. It is disorderly, and it brings vile practice. What I want to say here is this. When this is in us, it not only unleashes this on others in the way of thoughts and intention, but listen to me very carefully. It unleashes hell in your own life. It brings hell upon you, as you're going to see very clearly. You release hell not only on others, but you begin to release hell on yourself. There's a disorder that comes into your life. There's a vileness that comes into your life. By releasing this jealousy and selfishness into the air, you begin to bring it on yourself. So how is divine wisdom different? Here's the way he contrasts it. Listen. First of all, he says, everything you do, all of your work should be done in the meekness. Notice there's the word meekness of wisdom. What does that mean, meekness of wisdom? He says the wisdom that comes from above is first of all pure, then it's peaceable, then it's gentle, then it's easy to reason with, then it's full of mercy, then it's impartial, and then it's sincere. When you have the wisdom of God, you behave this way. Divine wisdom comes from above, given by God. Seven different things are mentioned here. The seven pillars of whether you know you're operating in wisdom, take the test for yourself. Number one, wise people who are operating in the wisdom of God have purity. What do I mean by that? Well, the Greek word means they're free from a defilement or impurities. They're free from selfishness. They're free from selfish ambition. They're free from jealousy. Their opinion is not coming from that. It's clean. It's the difference between this. This is the purity of God's wisdom. It's like heaven itself rained down upon you. This is human wisdom. It is filled with defilements. My desires, my thoughts, my prejudice, my hatred, my all of the hurts and pains that I have from my past, all of that is wrapped into it. Wise people are peaceable people. What do I mean by that? Yes, the word pacifist comes here, but it also means that you bring peace with you. Everywhere you go gets a little more peaceful when you show up. I said, everywhere you go gets a little bit more peaceful when you show up. Is that true? Or when you show up, does it go in the opposite direction? This is peaceful. Ah, it's beautiful. Little fountain, flowers. Let me show you the opposite. That. Strife. Warfare. I'm angry, and I'm going to get what I want. That wisdom does not come from above. Wise people are gentle people. What do we mean by gentleness? They're mild, they're moderate, they're fair, they're suitable. They're like this. Careful. Jesus, it says of Jesus, a bruised reed he did not break. This is the opposite. A harshness, a brutality, a desire to do injury and pain. Now again, this may not be like you're going to go out and do this physically. This could be with your words. This could be with your attitude. But your demeanor and what is inside of you is brutal. It's brutal. Wise people, it goes on to say, are open to reason. This perhaps maybe is the greatest attribute of wisdom. How many of you, when you get into a discussion with somebody, are open to hear them all the way through? Or are you convinced you're right from the beginning, and the only thing you're waiting for is the pause in which you can tell the person how they're wrong and you're right. Most of us don't do this adequately. It means you are easily compliant, you are easily entreated. In other words, it looks like this. You're listening. You're open to what the other person is saying. What is the opposite of this? You're close-minded. You're argumentative. You've made up your mind. How many people know this is the primary reason we have so much strife in our culture right now? Politically, socially, spiritually, is we're not listening to one another. It's not good. Wise people are full of mercy. And if I could stop at one and elaborate, and I am going to do this a little bit. This one right here, full of mercy, because it's one of those things that's mentioned in Micah. This is what God requires of us, to love mercy, to be merciful people. And what do I mean by being full of mercy? What does the text mean by that? Listen, a person who is full means that their mind is filled with the thoughts and the emotions of a particular idea. My mind is filled with this. My emotions are filled with this. If you ask what I am filled with, what always comes out of me because I'm filled with it, what God desires it to be is mercy. What is mercy? It is the kindness or good toward the miserable. How many people know that people are miserable out there? They're miserable people. One of the reasons they're miserable is they don't know God. If you don't know God, you're going to be miserable. Kindness and goodness toward the miserable, to the afflicted. But this is what I like best about this definition right here. It is the believer is to exercise mercifulness. He can feel the compassion for the misery of sin upon others. In other words, I see this person is miserable because they're disobeying God, because they're going in the opposite direction. And what I feel is not anger. What I feel is mercy. Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. They're ignorant. They're blinded. Wisdom is always merciful, forgiving. You see, the Father heart of God for the repentant sinner is always this. Our wisdom is when people have fallen, when people have done what is wrong, we want to judge them. And then we want to punish them. That is how we feel about it. Human earthly wisdom, we see sin in other people. Then we judge them for their sin. Then we condemn them for their sin. And then we want to punish them for their sin. By the way, this is why the world is so unforgiving. Watch a person fall in a secular society and you will watch everybody jump on them. They will see that sin, and then they'll pounce. We will judge them. We will condemn them. We will punish them. And by the way, I've seen this worldly, earthly wisdom in the church too. It's like we have no concept of divine wisdom. We do the exact same thing the world does. But here, listen, if you get nothing out of this message, take these verses and just take them home and meditate on them. Listen. Jesus said this in Luke 6:27. Judge not, and you won't be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. This should be how we behave. I don't judge. I don't condemn. I forgive. But what if you say, no, I'm a good judge. I can tell when people are doing wrong. I've read the Bible. I know what bad behavior looks like. I'm going to be the judge. Well, I'm going to prepare your life for something. If you've ever wondered, why does my life not seem to come out the way I want it? I'm going to tell you it's right here. You cannot get away from the words of Jesus, and here they are. He says, now we use these verses usually concerning tithing or people giving financially. In the context, these verses are given concerning this judgment and condemnation. Listen, Give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men shall pour into your bosom. For with the same measure that you merit, with all, it goes on to say that it shall be measured to you again. You're a judgmental person, everyone will judge you. You're a condemning person, everybody will condemn you. In other words, the way you view other people, the way you judge them, condemn them, that is all coming back on you. It's guaranteed. Life is a boomerang. You are going to, what you're giving out in your thoughts, mind, attitude, words, is coming back to you. I don't know how it's going to come back to you, but it's coming back. Jesus goes on in Luke 6 to say this, I want my disciples to be like me. A disciple can never be above his master. Everyone that is perfect shall be like its master. And now Jesus is going to say what he is like. Listen, I want you to be perfect. I want you to be like me. Listen to the context. Listen. Let me ask you a question, Jesus says. Why is it that you're constantly not seeing, you see the mote or the speck in your brother's eye, and you don't perceive there's a beam in your own? Why is it that you cannot see your own sin, but you can see other people's sins? See, the person who has that log in their eye, they're always pointing their finger. I see what you're doing wrong. I know what you're doing wrong. Let me tell you what you're doing wrong. Let me show you what you're doing wrong. The person who is wise, listen, sees only their own sin. Every time they look in the mirror, I see my sin. I judge myself as a sinner. And then I begin to correct that. Can I ask you? I'm going to ask you a personal question. How perfect do you think you are? Just out of curiosity. Let's compare you to heaven. What are you? You're not 50%, right? You're not 50% good. 4? Cody, maybe you're 4. Maybe. I'm closer to 2, maybe 1.5. At all my best days. So if I understand this equation, I'm gonna grade myself a little generous. I'm 2% of what I should be. 2%. So what does that make my project for the rest of my life? If I'm 98% not what I should be, I got a lot of work to do. And maybe I should concentrate on this 98% of my imperfections that are going to take me a lifetime to maybe even get a quarter of them. Maybe I should work on that before I go trying to fix anybody else. I'll say it again. Maybe I should work on that 98% before I think I'm capable of going fixing other people. Do you understand? That's what Jesus is trying to say. How is it that you can so easily see the sin in other people, but when it comes to yourself, you have a log in your eye? You can't see that. How is that possible? Is it possible we're not operating in wisdom? Is it possible that we're always projecting our sins on other people and then judging them for it? The woman caught in the act of adultery, oh, we can judge her. Caught in the act. And what Jesus does is so brilliant. He flips a mirror on them and he says, now look in yourself and see if you have that sin. And guess what? Everyone did. Because everybody left. What does that tell you? We are blinded by our self-righteousness. We are always casting stones. Why? Because somehow we think that we're not that sinful. That we're able to rise up as the judge. And so why do we suffer? Because it all comes back. Wise people are impartial. What does that mean? They don't discriminate. They don't separate. See, here's the difference. I don't see color, I don't see race, I don't see anything. I don't see anything. I love people based upon the love of God. But once you start saying some people are better than others, and by the way, this is in probably all of our hearts in different areas. Those people, I'm better than those people. Do you see? Now we're making a distinction. We go on. Wise people are sincere. What does that mean? They are not good actors. They do not know how to act. They do not know how to put on a show. What you see is pretty much what you get. They're honest and they're sincere. They're not like the insincere hypocrite who's always doing this to you, but behind your back, he's got a knife. They're not those people. They speak well of you in person, but behind your back, they slaughter you. They're not those people. So how do you receive this wisdom that is so good, so pure? Quite simply, you pray for it. You realize you have a lack of wisdom. You have a lack of this perspective. You're not thinking this way. You think worldly. So you need to ask God, God, please open my eyes. If any man lacks wisdom, just, God, I see it. Give me this wisdom that is from above. And the Bible says God is very generous. He's not going to reproach you. It's going to be given to you. God's not going to deny you. You need to know the nature and character of God is always to give what is good. Is wisdom good? Then God will always give it. Does God want us to be wise? Then God will always give it. The only thing standing in the way is our asking God for this. You need to know that once you get this wisdom from above, that it is so much better than any earthly wisdom that you can ever get. Jesus says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father heaven give good things to those who ask him? And wisdom is the good thing. Don't doubt, don't hesitate. The reason why you're going to get wisdom is because God wants you to have it.
Thanks for listening to this message from River Mountain Church. If you'd like some more information, visit our website, rivermountainchurch.org.